All right, welcome to another episode of the Lookout Podcast. I have special guest, Burke Miner. Man, honored to have you. Thank you so much for doing this, man.
Yeah, Luke, it's been a pleasure, man. Been waiting for this opportunity as well, so.
Oh, awesome, man. Yeah, excited, dude. And then, yeah, I just want to start off by, like, you know, kind of the foundation started, it was like 1994, I think, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it goes back a little deeper than that. Our family was doing contract commissary out there for years. You know, in 1994, we were one of the largest commissaries in the business. We were in a fire in Rio Doce, New Mexico. We woke up, a bunch of ribbons were tied around the trees. As lowly contractors in a fire camp, you kind of are last to know, right, type thing. Yeah. Unless you're demobbing, then you're probably the first to know, right?
Yeah, totally.
But we woke up and, you know, saw the ribbons and word got out that we had lost 14 men and women the day before, man. And the camp was just devastated. The community was at the time. And as I look back on things, you know, man, in 1994, we barely had computers.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot going on in that realm, especially when you look at care for firefighters or families or anything. Like, it was just part of the business. There was really no communication, no, hey, you know, we need this type of services. We need counseling here. We need this. None of that was going on, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the fire in Rio Doce that year, we woke up. The incident action plan that day had a drawing on it. Some natives on that camp that morning put together from the flames of hell to the gates of glory going home. And I had 14 men and women marching in the clouds there. And we went and asked the native crew if we could use that art. We wanted to print some shirts out of our commissary and just sell those shirts and kind of give back to those families. You know, fires, feast or famine, whether you're a fed or contractor or whatever, man, it's feast or famine.
Absolutely.
And back then, you know, we were doing pretty good with commissaries and just wanted to give some money back to those families and created that shirt. We raised over $100,000 the rest of that fire season out of our commissary selling that shirt.
Dang.
Sent that money back to Washington, D.C. to be dispersed to those families and never batted an eye after we sent the money off. It was about a year later, Vicky, my mother, kind of checked on those families to see, you know, how the funds had touched them and whatever. And
yeah.
Believe it or not, man, like not one penny had reached the families yet. It all got put into some nonprofit back east, and half of it was absorbed in overhead fees. And people ask me all the time, like, well, what's your mother really like? And I'm like, well, you're either going to get Mother Teresa or Roseanne Barr. You never know which one, right?
Oh, that's why we love her, man.
Yeah.
Because that's what you hear about. Those are stories, right?
For sure.
Your mom's a tiger, you know, but she's also, you know, this angel, like, kind heart, you know?
Well, there's a truth behind that statement, man. You know, yeah. Not to get off that subject, but she has won the Mother Teresa Award. We went back to D.C. She was nominated for it. We went back there, didn't really know anything about it or who was in the running, and we get back there, and she's in the running with Lance Armstrong and Hillary Clinton-type people, man, and brings that award home. So
that's why
it's funny to say, you know. But back to that.
Yeah.
She had checked on the money. None had gotten to the families. She got a hold of the nonprofit where the money was and demanded the money back to get to those families, and they're like, well, we don't give donors their money back type thing, and to hell with you, we weren't donors, you know, yada, 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 and she ended up getting what was left. Was not near to the tune of what we put in there. And
jeez.
I think at that point, the first thing that was created was the memorial purple ribbon pin.
Yeah, it's a great one.
And, you know, I think the chief of that year really wanted to start sending those out to fallen firefighters' families. And so it kind of all started with the lapel pin, really.
Really?
We were doing those out of her living room in her kitchen and just started helping more and more. And you know, here we are 30 years later, man, and all I can say was just a snowball, you know.
That's what I was going to say, 30 years.
Train going down the tracks. Nobody ever saw this coming, you know. We just started helping people and finally got into a building. It was kind of a crappy old building. Did that for a while, got into another building, and, you know, here we are, where we are and what we're doing, man. But that's the inception of how the foundation started, man, right out of the ashes of fire camp.
Yeah, and that's that's the best place. I couldn't think of a better origin story for a place, for a group that helps all of us fire folks out so much, man. I mean, like, helped me out in the past when I had that tumor, and you know, the stories are right. Well, you don't have the money, you're losing overtime because we injured sick or fatality, you know, the money coming into the household, right? So it's like, where do you go? And then a lot of us fire folks are like real independent, strong headed, like, no, I'll figure it out. But at a point, you can't figure it out, especially when you're hurting or you're gone, right? Like, if you do get your life taken by a fire, like, what do you do? What does your family do?
Look, it's that personality right there. It's on the firefighters, and it's so common that I will have to reach out to firefighters myself, and they don't want to take the money. And I'm like, dude, don't make me reach through here and make this happen, right? Yeah. You know, understand you're proud, understand all this. Take the goddamn money, man.
Yeah, man.
They're hardcore out that way.
Yeah, they are, man. And but that push that you just talked about, like, hey, take the damn money, you know, it's what it's for, is huge. And it's throughout the whole, everyone I talk to on your staff, you know, like Dina and Betty, and like, they're like, hey, no, that's what it's for. Take the damn money. Because, like, I was like, nah, I don't know if I really need that much. Or, like, how long are you going
for? It's the number one thing. Save it and give it to somebody who really needs it. I'm like, dude, you're on your deathbed. You need it. Take the money, man.
That's how I was, too. But I didn't, you know, I was like, I'll make it through. I'm fine. This tumor's fine. But I had to go to Mayo Clinic and get it cut out because it was, like, a rarely rare tumor. And no one around anywhere else would touch it besides, you know, Mayo Clinic in Minnesota.
Sure.
And so it's going to be expensive. And, you know, you guys bailed me out huge. So, I mean, that stuff, I mean, it's amazing. And I was going to say, back to the building stuff, like, I've never seen an old photo of just, like, the tons of t-shirts that you've gotten from all the crews that come to visit you guys. It was basically just in a big garage for a little bit, right? Before you guys upgraded to where you're at now.
They were not in any order, man. They were just hung up with push pins and the best we could do around there with ladders and whatever and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And to this day, man, I mean, in the new facility, we have all the Hotshot t-shirts up. We have smoke jumpers up.
So cool.
Rappel, all the crews there. But I'm going for complete collections, man. But having that said, the shirts still come in. And I have literally probably 650 shirts folded up real nicely in tubs out in our containers until we can figure out a place to really put them out and do it.
That's amazing, man.
You know, it's like I've even thought about getting, you know, like a dry cleaning chain rack that goes around when you're at the dry cleaners.
Getting
a couple of those to go around the top of our facility, man, where they just keep circling around. But you get that many shirts, it's like, what do you do with them? And how do you, you know, do it correctly? And,
yeah.
No, but we're still collecting them, and we are by far sitting on the largest fire t-shirt collection in history.
Oh, have to be, for sure. Even just what you got on the wall, you know, like the building's huge. And I think for most people, it's a destination now, right? Like you go to Boise, like, sometimes you're just going to go to your building because the Wildland Firefighter Foundation building is incredible, and it honors everybody who we know that has been falling on fire, right? Like, you have all the plaques on the walls and all the stories. And so it's not like people are gone, dead and gone, you know? It's like their story's there so people can see it and be like, oh, yeah, shoot, I do remember that incident. Man, bad deal, you know?
You know, one of the most common phrases I get when people come in that building are they'll kind of look around for a minute and they're like, my God, I didn't know. They're looking at somebody that they knew and they didn't know he passed.
Oh, yeah.
And it serves as that, you know, and it's especially place where they're always honored and remembered, man, for sure.
And you can feel it right when you walk in the door. I mean, even the entranceway with the firefighter standing there and stuff, like, that's an epic photo, right? You go to the foundation, you get a photo with those two firefighters.
Statues, our guardians, we call them. The guardians,
yeah, beautiful, man. And then you go in the door, and, you know, usually it's you know, depending on, you're busy as hell, and I meant to bring that up too, but, like, luckily enough, I came in the door, and it was you, and get to meet you and, you know, the man behind everything, and get to, you know, pick your brain a little bit. And I mean, great entrance into such a sacred place to me, you know.
You know, that building was a labor of love by far, and I wanted firefighters to know right when they grabbed our door handle, you're grabbing a Plowski to come in that door, man. I want them to know they're at home, man. It's a safe place. What goes there stays there. Peel your onion layers. Do whatever you got to do, man. You are safe here, and it's continued to be that way.
And it's awesome, and it definitely shows that you put it that way because, like you like you said, you get a little greeting at the door, and then it's yours. You know, like you, I remember, like, I tied back in you a little later in the tour, and you checked in on me and my family, and I appreciate that. It was great. Yep. But it was just us to wander around, go up to the lookout tower, go in the room with the shirts, go up to that Coors banquet area, and just, like, take it all in, man. And it's
I've noticed being there, you know, you can stay at somebody's side and walk around and give them the tour, but the fact of the matter is, man, people are going to get emotional while they're in there, and you have to let them have their space, man. I mean, they're going through their shit, whatever it is. They're remembering their friend. They're going to have a little moment, and it's hard for people to get real with that moment if they're crowded by people.
Yeah.
And I tell my staff that. I'm like, fuck, just let them go. Let them wander around, man. If they need something, they're going to come find you, right?
Yeah, true.
For the most part, just give them their space, man.
Yeah, and the way you guys got it laid out, too, because, you know, everyone's doors are open to you. Like, I think I ended up wandering past Dina, and she was talking to somebody. I just gave her a wave, and then, you know, Betty was in her office, so I stopped by and gave her a sticker, you know, and just said, hey. And like, but it's open. It was easy to just approachable, you know,
for sure.
So I was able to come say hey, and then, like I said, check in with you at the end there and get some merchandise for the road. And then you guys also have that other memorial out at Nipsey, right?
That memorial's been there, you know, from day one. That's been there longer than the foundation, really.
Really?
And it's got some things going on. It's getting crowded, and, you know, it's only a quarter acre of land, man. How many markers can you put on that, right?
Oh, I bet, yeah.
So we're going through that. We got some plans on expanding and doing some things like that, but definitely still there. And You know, by the time somebody walks through the memorial and then comes over to the office and puts faces to those names they saw over there, or vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, that's the real deal, man.
Yeah, it's big, man. It's so important. And like I said, before you guys existed, there was none of that. You know, I mean, like, man, Gulch back in, like, I think it's 49, I think, you know. And, like, I mean, there was nothing for all those folks, you know, who lost their lives on that tragedy, you know. And yeah. So thankful. I mean, I'm going to say it a million times.
Big anniversary coming up for that pretty quick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're on the
Helena.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're going to have a booth up there in Helena. We've been invited to all that.
Oh, very cool. So, yeah, maybe we'll come up and join you guys for that one, too. Oh, yeah, man, it's just so great that what you guys do. And remembering, like I said, it's such a big part of it, because we all give so much of this. And then generationally, I was going to say that, too. Now your son's involved, too, right?
My oldest son's there, third generation coming up, man. And, cool. It's just kind of a big family thing there, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's when something survives, right? Because that care gets passed down, you know, through generations. Like, you grew up doing it with your mom, and then your son grew up, you know, as the foundation, because he's probably about my age then or so, maybe a little younger.
He's 28. I don't know what you are, man.
Oh, I'm 38, so I got about 10 years.
You got 10 years on him, but, you know, the fact for him is when I was doing my thing in commissary, he was 2 years old at the time, man, and there's been times I drug him to fire camp, so he's been around his whole life.
Yeah, man. He grew up in it, man, so it's powerful. So he knows how it means. So it's not like you pass it off to somebody else who maybe has an interest, and maybe they really do care, but not like as in his veins, you know, like with you. So when you said, mention your son was going to the putting pole next weekend, right?
He's coming up there.
Cool, man. I was like, that's great, man, to see the torch kind of getting passed off a little bit.
So they need to clone me, man. I've been up there, but we've got a hot shot half going on. They've been doing it for 70 years now, and we've never had a rep there, and they've never said a word, but it's time we get to some of these others that have been doing their thing for a while, man. So.
Yeah, and I wanted to bring that up, how busy you are. I mean, it's like to me, on the outside, it's like a 365, you know, day a year job, man.
More than that, man.
I bet.
Day in and day out.
Yeah.
And through the night, I'm, you know, you call the foundation during off hours, and it's emergency, my name and number's on there. You know, get a hold of me, and we'll get you taken care of. And it's all the time, man.
Yeah, totally. And I think we kind of mentioned about doing this last year, but, like, you know, last year I didn't know, and you had that accident with the, you know, broken ribs, and then you got sick, and then your mom was sick and all this stuff, and I think I hit you up like late in the evening in the putting pole when I, you know, finally got the information. I was like, oh shoot, you know. So like, text you, I was like, hey man, let me know if you need anything, and yeah, you hit me right back, and I was like, oh, appreciate it. And shows how available you are, man. I mean, that
life goes on, man. It's just life, man.
Yeah, I'm glad you recovered. You said like 52 and 53 has been the hardest years.
Not hard, they're just, I'm like, man, I've been in the hospital more in my 52 53 than I have my whole life, man. And I'm just over it, kind of, but
I bet, man.
Yeah, it is what it is.
How things stack
I think
up.
Sometimes you got to slow down a little bit, but
yeah,
I don't like that.
No, man, I don't like
just
that.
Just getting started.
Yeah.
I often tell people in my presentations, you know, if I was a Fed, I'd be retired. I've got over 30 years in, man.
Oh, totally.
But here I am, you know, 53 years old, and I feel like I'm just getting started on what we can do out in the community, what the needs are, what we can put together and serve the community, and we're just hitting the ground running, man.
Yeah, you look great. I mean, like, I think you were battling something the first time I came to the foundation, like, just getting over a cold or something. And you were still there doing great. And, like, but now, I mean, like, and this is a lip service, man. You look younger, and, like, you have good energy. And as long as you get the energy, man, that's great.
Yeah, that's all it takes, man. Just keep getting around and do my thing. And, you know, if you don't got time to stop and think about how old you are, I guess it just is what it is.
Yeah, it doesn't catch up on you. That's the trick, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm kind of trying to tell myself, too. You know, getting a little beat up from all the, you know, miles I got under my boots from, you know, fighting fire and stuff too, but get involved with this, man. Like, I appreciate the opportunity to sit down with you, because, like, being able to just even, you know, kind of cling on to you guys a little bit on the foundation stuff and help spread the word, it's huge to me. Because I was just talking to CJ, like, as you know, the community, man, like, as in the fire community, is huge. It's a big family, and you guys are a big part of that big family. And then once I got out of fire, recently got out of fire this spring, it's like I kind of felt like that, like, my community was lost, you know, like, I, you know, kind of abandoned the ship, and it was, you know, because it's Crohn's and health issues, so I had to leave. But being able to have the opportunity to jump in on this and interview you and follow along with, you know, the Flathead chapter here, and I guess I forgot to say that we're the Flathead chapter of the Wildland Firefighter Foundation banquet right now, and I was able to pull Burke away for a hot second to interview him before things get rowdy, so.
Well, couldn't be more happy to be here. You know, turns out lately here, this is one of our single-handed largest fundraisers in the evening, man.
Crazy, huh?
Those guys are killing it up here, so I wouldn't have missed it. Been on the road for over a week straight, came straight from California to here, got to go to Spokane from here before I even get home, but.
Oh, man, yeah.
You know, it's just, it's that time of year for everybody, man.
Totally is. Did you go to the NFR this year, too, then?
I didn't make it to the NFR, no.
No,
I was there last year when I had my quick moment of fame with Pete Coors down there in the dirt, so man. That was cool. Bucket list.
Yeah.
I've been to the NFR quite a few times, man, but never down in the dirt. And to hear my name over the loudspeaker and get a check from the man, Pete Coors himself down there, that was
such an awesome
bucket list for sure.
And yeah, all of us Wildland folks were like so pumped. And remember those rodeo guys, professional bullfighter. So he was down there, you know, for the NFR. He wasn't competing or anything, but he the booths get set up the week before and they get all their business that week and talk to all the, you know, the Rustock or the, Rustock, folks who own the rough stock and part of the rodeos, you know, and book their stuff. So they're like more to like paying attention to the NFR being a rodeo family. And I knew you were coming up, and then to see that moment, dude, I was like, oh yes, you know, that's a big thing, man.
That was a highlight.
Yeah. Have you down there and have that part of the foundation, man. And just the more support coming and then to see Wildland firefighters on their trailers driving around, you know, we see them in Montana all the time. It really warms your heart, man. It's like, yeah, it's good. It feels like you have a next little safety net, you know?
It's been an amazing ride, man. You know, taking care of people is obviously forefront and keeps us going. But I guess for me personal, all the stuff that comes with that, from the relationships, the sponsors, the concerts, meeting singers, and never saw it coming a mile away, man.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
It's beautiful. Because, you know, I'm kind of at the birth of this thing, really. I mean, it's been almost 2 years, I think, since I've started this. So, like, to hear it, you know, your story and how it kind of just, like, snowballed, like you said earlier, I mean, were you just like, all right, another thing, kind of keep up? How do you get going, I guess, you know, from the beginning? Like, you just...
The Coors relationship?
No, sorry, the foundation, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I skipped.
Through Storm King there and all that, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, it's like you said, it was a t-shirt, and then it just, like...
It formed itself, man.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell people. I certainly didn't go to college to be an executive director of a nonprofit. Neither did Vicky.
That's what I was wondering.
And either did Lane if he makes it there someday, you know. But
yeah,
just came to us. We got handed it, and we're just doing what we do with it.
That's all. Well, you guys been doing a great job. That's why I'm curious, because like it. I mean, like you said, it's huge now, and it started off in, you know, small beginnings. You know, with the t-shirt, and just wondering, like, I mean. Did you ever have time to pause and be like, holy cow, this is huge? Or were we just like, all right, next thing?
It's been the next thing. But, you know, it's obvious where we are today, man. And I, you know, when I lay down at night, I'm just like, after some type of great event, I will tonight, man. I, you know, almost bawl in my pillow. Like, didn't see that one coming, didn't see the support. It's a phenomenal thing.
Oh, man, so cool. And man, the banquet, like you said, how big this has gotten, like, I remember kind of when it first started, like you just hear about it being in the Wildland world. I'm like, oh, it's cool. I'm glad there's, you know, Flathead chapter. That's awesome that, you know, the foundation's spreading. And then when I got invited to it from Justin Gaber, I was like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't miss me. I'd love to be there. And then all of a sudden you find out my trailer's going to be in the banquet. I'm like, oh, I better get this thing clean.
Yeah, I mean, I'll look out the window. We're looking at 500 people out there bidding on guns and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I got CJ running around, entertained.
It's amazing for sure.
Man. Awesome. And then everyone who comes to the booth, you know, before I came over and hung out by my trailer, I figured I better be, you know, around so people can ask questions. But I was just at the entrance there at some of those booths and just kind of hanging out and talking to folks. And, man, they're like, hey, great cause. Like, a lot of people are throwing their money out there, and they're really good prizes, like the UTV, and they're just like, yeah, it'd be great to take this thing home tonight, but, man, I want to support you guys, you know, because what you guys is amazing, and it's so awesome to see that support, because I feel like a few years ago the public wasn't quite on board and kind of felt like we were just sitting in the woods, so it's good to see
it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, man. I just keep doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not, you know, we're here tonight and we're talking about this, but these happen with a lot of folks across the country, man, and why we're on here, I want to acknowledge everybody that does that, right?
Absolutely, man.
Just thank them. We couldn't be where we are without them.
Yeah, thanks to all the folks. I mean, there's like a fishing tournament I see that people
Sam
put
Piercy in Oregon. Just one of the many, man. There's just tons everywhere. Tons.
Yeah, and I guess so for folks listening, like a good place to go, just your website, right, to kind of keep track or donate?
You can donate through the website, obviously. You want to keep track of fundraisers and stuff like that, more on social media. I think there is an events page on our website.
Cool. Yeah. Wildland Firefighter Foundation. Just Google it, and it should pop up, and then follow the Instagram and everything else that you guys put up, and all the events. Man, I don't want to keep you too long, but I want to make sure I have everything covered while I got you.
I'm here. You got anything else?
Yeah. Well, 30-year anniversary is huge. You guys have anything for that, for the 30-year?
You know, I've been focused on the 30-year for Storm King, but
true.
You know, when we look at it, it's our anniversary as well, so we've been hit up about it, and we're got some stuff probably going to throw out there and talk about.
Oh, good, man.
You know how you can get through this for 30 years and not
You gotta.
It's a mile marker, man.
It's a mile marker. Yeah, I was gonna say you gotta have something. I know, like the wildland community definitely show up for whatever you guys decide to do. You know, whether after the season or what you guys end up doing.
It's funny, we're probably, you know, one of the few organizations out there doing what we do, but you know, we don't chest bump and pound on our chests, and
no,
you know, quite honestly, it's just not out there other than word of mouth of what we do. Yeah. And it's amazing how it goes around word of mouth, right? That's where I'm going to throw some stats out tonight. But, you know, last year we touched almost 900 firefighters. Ain't nobody doing that, man. That's no. Word of mouth right there. That's just in 1 year.
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot of good stuff and touching a lot of people, man.
Yeah. Oh, man, it shows. Like I said, and I keep repeating the same thing because it's just so amazing and so important. And you know, like the other foundations, like I was talking with CJ earlier, is like with – you know, there's all these great foundations out there, but like with this one, we know people, right? Like everybody knows somebody that was affected by wildfire, you know, whether fatality, injury, whatever it might be, and that you guys have helped. And it's like, man, it's so like when, and maybe it's just the Northwest and the Western states, because it feels smaller out here and fire is such a big impact, but like, it feels like everybody knows somebody. It's like I was saying, those folks were at the booth tonight, just like, great cause. If I win, cool. But if not, I just want to support you guys.
Sure.
It's like, oh, that's huge, man.
Well, we, you know, several years ago, we went international. So
really?
We've been doing a lot of touching people across the board, man.
Man.
How can we not? You know, when Australia's having their problems and Canada's having their problems, part of the brotherhood, man. They're coming and going. We're helping. We're coming and going. And how can you not?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, there's a need, right?
So we're stretching the boundaries there for sure.
Jeez, Bert, that's amazing, man. And last thing before I let you go, like when the Storm King thing happened, you guys were just in your infancy, right? Like pretty much brand new when Storm King happened?
We weren't even a foundation, man. We were a commissary.
Oh, yeah, true. Sorry. Yeah, you kind of mentioned that earlier, yeah.
So, I mean, we came out of the ashes of Storm King. We weren't a foundation at that point.
Yeah, like when that happened, you guys were just like...
Man, it just started figuring out and
these guys
helping
help
people, man. The need was there.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I bring that up is because Storm King to me, and I told you talked about it just a minute ago before we started, was like the Granite Mountain Yarnell fire, you know, that tragedy. Like that one was when I was like in my peak firefighting. I was a rookie smoke jumper. So I was in like the best shape of my life, feeling top of the world, right?
You remember exactly where you were, don't you?
Exactly. And that's what I was going
to
ask you.
You talk to guys to my age, they remember exactly where they were when Storm King went down, right?
That's exactly what I was going to ask you.
Same concept for sure.
Yeah, I was wondering if that feeling was familiar. It was weird, man. Like, world stopped. I was in McCall smoke trooper base on a boost. I was boosting McCall jump base and like, all of a sudden, you feel like the air come out of the room. You're like, what in the world?
It's almost like that when that radio traffic comes across the community, man. You can literally feel it through the community. And I don't care where you are and what you're doing. You know the whole community is just at a loss, man, gasping. Like, what the hell just happened, right?
Yeah. The reason why I bring that up is because having you guys is so huge for that. Because it's like, there's helpers, right? Because they always say when there's tragedy, there's helpers. So, like, having you there is, like, huge, man. I'm getting a little emotional about this one. But it's
means you got a heart.
Yeah, and it's a big deal, you know, like, and to feel that, like, emptiness, you know, like, during Yarnell, it's like, holy cow, man, like, thank God for you guys, you know? Mm-hmm. Man, yeah, it's a tough
deal. Get me emotional.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to do it. I didn't think I'd go there. I haven't been emotional on a podcast yet, but like I said, man, I'm passionate about this stuff.
You can't talk about that stuff without that happening, man.
Yeah, for sure, and, yeah, like, man, so, that, yeah, thankful for you guys, and I don't really want to end on that note. I guess you know the question. So the future of the foundation is kind of just keep going what you guys are doing. Like when there's a
whatever the needs are, we're just going to keep taking care of, man. You know, we haven't even touched on the mental health program we launched last year.
Oh, really? Oh,
we've already touched 90 people through that, man, in just the first year conception of that. Like,
dude.
You know, I often tell this. I don't know if I should on a podcast, but I'm just going to put it wherever there's a gap in the agency that they can't fill or people are falling out of that bucket, we're there to support that, right? I mean, so we're going to create programs that support that whenever those people are there.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's one thing that I've been trying to kind of get at too with my stuff. And like you talked to Ashley Taylor and then there's Closed Gap Wellness in Boise. So great community down there. That's also
some of the best in the business came right out of this community, man.
Right. Yeah. All fire folks. And we're all like the same thing, like, right? Mental health is a big deal. So I'm so glad. I didn't even know you guys were doing that. But you guys,
Ashley and Danny, both, man, they're instrumental in helping us get that off the ground. We send people their way and blah, blah, blah. And
huge, man.
You know, it's not like we could have chose anybody in the country to pound mental health down somebody, right? But have somebody out of the community. The names are still known. They're still going around. And it was instrumental.
Yeah, and relevant, right? Because they're ex-firefighters, so they know, right? So
exactly.
They know what everyone's going through. So when you show up there, especially like they call it, what do they call it? Like the hotshot blues, you know, after the fire season, because you're going like 1,000 miles an hour to zero. And then it's like, where do you go?
And you've lost your family.
Yeah,
you're alone.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone else is out to the wind. Yeah, so where do you go?
That's, you know, that's what started our mental health program, was just that right there, and the suicides that come through that. And
that's what it is.
There ain't no other organization in the country that is dealing with wildland suicides other than us.
Yeah, totally.
And quite frankly, man, that's a problem. It's running rampant, and I'm tired of burying them.
Yeah, right.
Maybe you could start a program to help them out, right?
Yeah, totally, man. Just
whatever the need is, we're getting it done, man.
Yeah, because otherwise, like you said, we're burying them year-round, right? So fire's eating them, and then they're eating themselves in the off-season because of mental health. And it's like, that's horrible because these are great humans. You know? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to get all teary-eyed again. Burke, you're getting me, buddy.
It's all good, man.
But even my wife brings that up a lot because she's not fire, never was. She's an occupational therapist, so, you know, more with just, like, physical health. But, you know, she sees a lot of folks who, you know, I've been injured, like, smoke jumping, you know, like, a few of my friends, and she tries to help them out with, like, rehab, you know, shoulders, hips, typically, femurs. Mm-hmm. But she's like, what is going on? Why isn't there, like, a send-off, like, at least a pay period, you know, 2 weeks where it's like, all right, you know, let's wind down, let's do some yoga, let's have some folks come here to talk to you, let's give you some cards at least to reach out to people like Ashley Taylor, you know, and Danny. It's like, but that doesn't happen. It's more like, hey, thanks for your time, we'll see you. You know,
it's a hard letdown, man, coming out of fire season. You're coming out of fight or flight mode, man, pure adrenaline, just a fucking nothing. See you, and your 20-man group's gone, and all of a sudden you're alone, right?
I mean, 1,000 hours or more of that, right?
You couldn't expect anything less to be in the blues, man.
Yeah, exactly, man. He has nowhere to go. You're already at the high. Right. Yeah, you hit the bottom, right?
Yeah.
And then, like you said, then you don't have the support group anymore because your family, like you said, the shot crew, whatever crew you're a part of, is off the wind.
You went to the Bahamas or skiing or whatever they're doing, man.
Yeah, and especially your newer folks, newer person on that crew, you don't maybe have that outlet yet because you're not used to that season of life, so like you don't have your next mission, and so you're at home, and typically the first week you're just dog tired, so you just want to like rest and sleep and catch up on stuff, drink some beers with some old buddies you haven't seen, and then what's next? And then that kind of comes into routine, and then you end up just kind of being a loner for a while, and then the darkness closes in, and man, bad things happen, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. Jeez, I don't want to end this on a negative thing, but
it's not negative, man. It's part of the beast that we battle, man.
Yeah.
You know, everybody goes through it. Everybody sees it. Everybody hears about it. We're one big family out there, man.
Absolutely, man. That's a big message, right? Big family. Like, so you reach out to the foundation, you know, like for my advice, giving people out, like for me, I was dragging my feet on, you know, like Brendan Mullen, you know, was in that accident years ago. Like he was really driving me. And then, he pretty much kind of forced me to call you guys and talk to Dina. And then she like talk me into accepting it, you know, like you said, you have to do. And I was like, all right, you know, so don't be like me is what I'm trying to say for the message. Like,
take the money, man.
Take the money, reach out. Yeah.
Take
like
the ticket, take the ride.
Yeah. Take the ride. Yeah, man. And it's so great to hear you guys are so like malleable too, right? Like what's the next issue? Oh, mental health. We're burying people year round. Let's take care of that. So Burke, I won't keep any more of your time, dude. Thank you so much for being on.
It's a pleasure, man. I appreciate your message out there. Appreciate everything. And look forward to coming to Boise again, man.
Yeah, I'll come visit you, man. Maybe we'll do a follow-up down the road here.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks, Burke. Appreciate you, man.
Yep, absolutely.
Thanks for listening, everybody.